Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Right, hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 98, which, first thing, 98, Jesus, where's time gone? And it's a happy talk podcast. So I've made this joke before, but it was many years ago, the last time we were on a bit of a crest of a wave. We may as well say, we're all happy, good night, end of podcast. But yesterday we beat Burnley, we went top of the league. I know it's only game 17, but it was just felt nice in a world that's going increasingly bonkers to just enjoy. I love a dirty win sometimes when it's everyone at it. And you can tell there's something changing. We've been debating for ages and ages about progress, but there is tangible progress, not just in league position, but the team wanting to fight for each other the way Pogba's built into it temporarily, at least. I think he's still going to fuck off, but the best of the scenario you could wish for is we all know he's going, but you get a performance level out of him where he could be thinking, hang on, imagine leaving on a crest of a wave, you know, it all ends well, league title. Now, I'm not getting carried away, but I was watching the 2000 all right, let me just give me a few seconds of joy. 2012-13 highlights the other day. Now, we know Fergie eked out his genius, Van Persie, but you look at that squad and you think the sum of all parts was we had a few very good players and the rest were just performing ahead of their ability. You know, title winning medals went to Nani, went to Cleverley. So you can't, someone's rustling away in the background, but you can possibly do it. So I'm led to believe Ollie's said that 80 points will win a league. Now, I'm just getting carried away. It's not going to happen, but we keep waiting for something to happen and it's not happening. And we doubted Ollie a month ago and we were all feeling like, where's the knock coming? But he never gets the knocks. So sometimes you have to say, and I've made my notes, but last week against City in the 60... Now, it's just a paradox, but sometimes we're just going to have to run with it. Because, like, I felt the City game, it's 67th minute, it showed Ollie talking to Phelan about making a change. In the 69th minute, it panned on Ollie talking to Carrick about making a change. He didn't make a change until the 74th minute. Now, you've got to point out where you still have lingering things, that he made changes slow. But I just think this is what Ollie's thing is. It's so mad at times that you revert back to your doubts and then you get into the seat and think, hang on, we've only lost three games all season. So first off, I'm going to go to Nick because apart from one wobble, you're being proven right, mate. So I bet you're cock happy.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much at the moment. I think what we wanted to see from this Ole team was, you know, we've been able to blow a few people away, haven't we? You know, you look at, like, Newcastle and stuff, you know, we're capable of doing that. You know, it's these real grind-out results that I was always sort of waiting for us to get to that next level. You know, since we've done this, the last one we did was Wolves. You know, we managed to grind out a result there, you know, last-minute winner. You know, you look at the Villa game with a last-minute block from Bailly. You know, there's just been those. I mean, even with a rotated squad, yeah, I know it's Watford, whatever, but, you know, still to grind through. So, I mean, I think he started to get that a bit more right in terms of team selection, and I think it's massively helped with the form of Bailly at the moment. I think he's been a godsend for us at the moment. He's probably looking like our best defender. You know, that's saying something, because I think Luke Shaw's played quite well over the last couple of matches as well. So, you know, I think that we've always said if we can get the back line a bit more stable and we don't need to score three goals to win a football match, we've got more of a chance and we're seeing a different side of United over the last couple of weeks. Whether it's fixture congestion and a bit of fatigue, I'm not so sure. But, you know, it seems to be a pretty similar 11 that are getting played in the games. But at the moment, I don't think he can be unhappy. I mean, when was the last time we were top of the league at this stage of the season? Regardless if it's not quite halfway yet or not. No, this is strides going forward, and even if we don't go on and win the league this year, and I still have my reservations if we will do or not, you've got to say that the gap between us and the top is certainly being closed, and I think Ollie deserves all the credit in the world for that, and I don't think he's been given enough credit for it.
We're not. I mean, no, I think we all, but it's nice to go to bed at night and just have a little bit of a dream. But what baffles me is that we can debate, like last week after City knocked us out, I had a couple of exchanges with good lads, good Reds, saying, you know, they think that's the point, the semi-finals and the City are the point that prove that Ollie won't take us to the next level. And some of the points they made, you know, we were properly having a... You can sort of see where they're saying. But I think there's a tangible... We've gone about this on the internet. But there's a tangible element of United's online support who you feel don't want us to win games of football. It's almost like they're gutted we're winning because they just want to fucking have a moan. You know, Shane?
Like Nathan.
No.
No,
that's unfair, Nick. Don't. No, but you know what I mean. No, there's debating it properly, but you know what I mean. That element, the one thing you reverted to the Brighton, you know, how giddy that goal made you. To wake up this morning to see United being relevant again with ABUs fucking unhappy about us, querying a decision in a team they don't support, in a game they shouldn't have been watching, you know, actually forensically going through all these decisions, that means we're pissing them off and we're doing the right thing. Shane?
Yeah, no, I agree with everything, and I agree with a lot of what Nick said. And I think actually being a bit... told you so. I think I said on the last pod that we would go to Anfield with a chance of going top, and now we're going there with a chance to stay top. So, yeah, I think it's just like it's a great position, isn't it? And I'm thinking, you know, deep down, do I think we're going to win the league? Probably not. But it's great to be up in the mix. It's great to be challenging, as we've said. That's what we've been asking for, and that's the kind of tangible sign of improvement that we talked about before on here about the big gap, the golfing gap between us and City and Liverpool. And, you know, I think the semi was a big disappointment, I think. And, it, you know, the fact that Ollie's lost a few adds a bit of a stigma. But if you take that game in itself, you know, I think we have to be, as hard as it is for me to say it, I think we have to concede that if you look at City's team and our team, they've got a better side of players. And when they're on form, the chances are they're going to give us a good game and beat us. And I think we played, you know, City is just... They had that very convenient for them COVID break. We can be a bit cynical about that, but they've hit form at the right time, haven't they? They're looking ominous in the league now. They played well against us. So I think the other thing is, you know, as disappointing that was, and I've said it countless times, that, you know, questioned the mental resilience of this side, but to come back and put in a performance last night and in not just the bounce back from City, but there's a lot of shithousery from... Yeah, Burnley is a tough place to go, horrible side to play against. All the far shite and disruption that suited them and not us in the first half. So I think, yeah, that second half performance, I thought, showed a lot about United, the resilience last night. So I thought it was good.
And
as Nick said, a lot of players have come into form. Shaw's been terrific, Pogba's played well, Maguire, I think, has been really good the last few games. So I think, yeah, it's not just Bruno now. We're seeing other players stepping up in those big games.
And you're dressed like the milk train man, Shane. What's that all about?
I'm sort of not shaven for 2 weeks now, so I'm attempting to...
You either look like you're going to go on the rob or you're going to deliver a fucking box of chocolates to someone. What's that all about?
Yeah, my son, I was having dinner a while back, and my son, Connor, obviously you know him, he just turned around and said, "You just look like a middle-aged sort of wino."
It's the COVID lockdown look. Well, yeah.
Is that the look you're aiming for? And I said, well, it's as good as any.
A couple of things. Obviously, I was 50 last week. And I was chatting to my brother, and they said, when I was young, 50 was geriatric. You wrote off people at 50. So I wonder if the kids of today still do that. Like, 50 is just, you're fucking dead at that age. Secondly, thanks for everyone who sent really nice messages. So I actually fell ill, but I didn't have COVID, thankfully, but had the test. I had a real strange one, like 39 temperature, felt really, really odd and wasted. But I couldn't celebrate it because I was that ill. And then I woke up better on the Thursday morning, so I got to celebrate it at the weekend. But Coggy, who's usually with us, actually does have COVID. So we're just wishing him all right, counting down the days until he's better. So if you're listening, mate, we'll have you on next week and you can tell us all about it. But obviously, that's a real scare. And for people going through shit, right now, this feels like a real fucking turgid. I mean, I'm homeschooling and I'm absolutely fucking knackered. I never got schoolwork till I was 12 and now I'm getting it for a five-year-old and I feel shattered doing it. Right, so my point being, just dig in, Reds. We'll get through this. Right, Ben?
Yeah, well, you know, happy at the moment, really. There's not too much to complain about, is there? You know, I think I held my hands up when we were doing the pods in the run-up to Christmas. I was sceptical about whether Ollie would make it this far, you know, looking at the run of fixtures we had. So I think, you know, you've got to take your hat off to him and say that, you know, the form since then, since losing to Leipzig, really, has been brilliant. And, you know, I think at the start of the season, we were talking about what, you know, what would represent progress on last year where we came third, but we're a long way behind the top two. I don't think any of us really had confidence that we would get much closer to them this season. So I think, whilst I agree with Shane, I don't think we'll win it, but, you know, we've got a chance, haven't we? But the point is, we're in the race. We're pretty much halfway through the season. We're top of the league. I think if we can kind of stay in the race until April, May, then that certainly represents, you know, a team that's going in the right direction. So, and I think one other thing I'd just say, but, you know, I think Shane talks about resilience. I think that has really come through in the last few games, like the Wolves game, getting that late winner, hanging on against Villa, and, you know, going to Burnley and grinding that result there. It really seems to be a kind of a change in the mentality. You know, we look like we're a team now that's capable of going to these places and grinding out results. And, you know, that, I think that'll stand us in good stead, really. You know, if you can almost bookend it with Burnley, can't you? It was around about 12 months ago we lost at home to Burnley. And what were we, about 20 points off the top of the league at that point? Something ridiculous. And here we are a year later, 3 points clear. So, you know, you
it's can't meant really argue to, it, that, can you? It is meant to, like, for December, I was disbelieving, like, where are we? And then before the last pod, can we win the next two home games? And they were tough, and, like, well, they weren't particularly good, but I don't think anyone's playing particularly good football. But you think you suddenly got 9 points extra, you know, and you are suddenly. It's just nice. It's just nice to have, you know, the happiness. And Nathan, go on, go to Nick's slur on you earlier. I wasn't meaning you.
No, contrary to what Nick says, I know that I always moan, but I don't know. I think I'm just in that place where it's just, it's the hope that kills you, isn't it? And I'm obviously enjoying it. I'm obviously, you know, happy where we are. I don't know. I don't want to get overly giddy. And I know that I should embrace it because, you know, when was the last time we were top of the league? Like, was it
3 years ago under Jose?
Season? It was when we last won it. So, like, I should embrace it, and I do. But then, realistically, I also know that come Sunday or whatever, you know, that it could all change. But I don't know. The main thing I took from last night, I said after the game, like we were saying about Pogba looking good, is I just, like you were saying, that you think that he'll probably still go. If I was Pogba, you know, like I said it last night, he might be a dick, but if he was to jump ship now, when he's doing well and we're doing well, I see that. That's just a whole new level of being a
dick. Yeah, I don't think he'll do it now. I just think he'll wait till the summer.
There's
and
still talk that he could, there's still talk of, you know, if someone comes in, if PSG or whatever come in for him, then... But he shouldn't... If he tries to force a move or something... Like, that's the thing. He came through at United since he was a kid. And literally, this is the best position we've been in the league whilst he's played for... Like, properly played for us. So, you think just... See it out. If what happens, you know, if you want to go, you're still going to be able to go at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Either way.
So I think that's what's happened. You know. But him and common sense. I watched a video, Nathan, yesterday where he was wearing Smurf trousers. I don't really think... he's got Papa Smurf on his trousers. So I don't think we're talking... But I do think it'll be a plateau that Ollie... But we have to give credit to Ollie and to Pogba. You know, I know... But he's got his head down in the last month. And Ollie has somehow, like, Ollie hugged him yesterday. We said, you know, Karen Shotbolt, who may not be friendly for Red News, but she's savvy. She put him forward for all the interviews. So the dynamics changed there a little bit. And if you can keep... But we have got a bit lucky because, you know, Bally, we were having sponsored, when's he going to get injured? Lindelof is in trouble. Ollie said last night, you know, his back is playing up still. So he might have started him, I don't know. But we have to... If Lindelof's going to be injured, we almost have to keep this lucky thing going with Bally. Because if he gets injured and then Lindelof's injured, then it all could. But I feel that we've got a chance on Sunday, which I never have. Maybe I'm in the fucking full giddy boat bollocks, but I think we have a chance on Sunday.
Well, we've got a chance. Look at Liverpool. I mean, they've just lost to Southampton. They've drawn at Newcastle. They are probably still the best team in the country, but they're not in great form. They've got some injuries. You know, of course we've got a chance. We've got to go into the game with confidence. We're top of the league, aren't we? So, but, you know, it will be a difficult game. I think just going back to Pogba, I can't see him going anywhere in January. I think the summer's more likely. And I think, you know, whatever his motivations are, you know, he probably is playing for himself, playing for his move. Doesn't really matter to me. If he's playing well for us and we're benefiting of it, benefiting from it rather, you know, yeah. In the short term, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
You know, so long may it continue, or short may it continue. As long as it continues to the end of the season.
Yeah, that's what I think. But I think where we're reticent and we've got that United neurosis, you know, this will all implode. I did notice there's a bit of a difference, you know, the players with Bally after that tackle, the players last night, you know, this is one game, count the games down, and which, like, that where you hoped you win a semi-final to breed confidence. But this, for the players, you'd hope, like, for Sunday, what I want them to do, we've got to be more clinical in front. Cavani up front, we've got to give him the ball in the air because that's his strength. But we've also, I want to see Fernandes have some shots outside the box because their keeper is not the keeper he was. So start putting some pressure on them rather than... Nick, I don't want us to play the three at the back on Sunday.
Well, my concern was I thought he might go there and try and do what he did at Leipzig and try and avoid defeat, and he probably would play the three at the back, and obviously that massively failed. But, you know, I think we've grown in confidence since then. You know, I think Ben's mentioned, obviously, with the sticky run that we've had, and, you know, I do agree. I don't think that's necessarily what we need to do. We need to carry on doing what's working for us and what's given us a bit of a better defensive record over what has been a tricky Christmas period. So, you know, we had a couple of shaky moments where we could have conceded or whatever last night, but you're going to get that. But I think one of the things that we've been benefiting from with having Bailly at the back is we were able to play a little bit further up the pitch, I think, because I can't remember who said it now, but someone was saying that we play a little bit higher up because he's got the pace and he can get in behind Maguire and he can complement him. And it means he can get on the ball more and it's an extra body going forward. So I think we just need to concentrate on what we do and what we've been doing well over the last few games. And if we do that, I do think we've got a chance there. Obviously not the same side. I worked with a surprisingly half decent Scouser, and he was telling me, he said, you know, we're not the same side, you know, we don't look the same without Van Dijk, and we haven't got the pace to get back and track. And, you know, he was echoing the points that I was talking about this morning about Bailly having that pace to get in there. He said, it gives you another dimension when you're on the ball. It's better for modern football and why we've been so successful. You know, and that's one thing that the Scousers are obviously massively missing, which hopefully could play into our hands. You think about the pace that's going forward, you know, from people like Rashford and, you know, my favourite player, Martial. You know, it's those kind of players that you need to make sure you give them the ball. And the only criticism is they've probably not had as much of the ball as we probably would have liked them to have had over the last few games.
But we also need them to start scoring because we don't want this to develop into you can't keep relying on a 1-0 and, you know, and Martial, you've done it to death, but... You know, he's been more frustrating. I know he got the injury, but more frustrating. We were laughing on the WhatsApp group that Trump put, you know, a tweet saying, I'm the best president ever. And it's like, does Martial wake up and go, I'm the best striker? That was the best striker's performance ever. You can't, they're going to have to up their game. If we do want to have, you know, that the goals have to come in. Martial's return so far this season has been really, really poor.
I'd hope that we'd have more, that they'll have more opportunities anyway because of the way that Liverpool will play. Obviously, against the likes of Burnley, we're going to sit back a lot deeper. when you've got the likes of Rashford or even Martial, you know, who specialise in running past the defenders and stuff. When the defence is so deep, like Burnley were last night, you haven't got that space to run into. So you'd hope that the way that we play at our best is when we're against a team like Liverpool will be, who'll be pushing out a bit more. I think, like you say, start Cavani, because like you say, they're shaky central defence at the moment because of Van Dijk being out, and I don't know who they'll be playing at centre-back on Sunday, but have him in there just to cause trouble, just to, you know, if he's making, you know, making the moves that he does, it will give the other players on the pitch, even if it's not him that's scoring, it gives them something to think about, whereas I don't think Martial does that.
I loved him being an arsehole last night, moaning away. I love that. I love it that he had the hump. It was almost like I'm fucking... Because it sort of raises the stakes for everyone. They're suddenly in... You know, Maguire's getting a lecture off the referee. They're all suddenly going, come on. Just little bits. Like, MUTV did an interview with Luke Shaw and he's had a kid. And it was like a different Luke Shaw with a level of maturity. His interview alone, I thought, it's a different... You know, I'm getting carried a lot. I am getting carried away, but it's fucking nice because just the world is shit. So it's just nice.
I know, obviously, the results breed kind of confidence and a bit more bullishness. But do you remember he came out after Everton in the league, I think it was, and sort of bemoaning the fixtures and the TV scheduling and kind of come out a bit all guns blazing? And ever since then, I thought, you know, Ole's had a much more assured, kind of measured press conferences, none of the sort of whittling on and getting himself, you know, sort of, he just looked under pressure before. And I know that's probably come results, but it just looks to me as though he's got a sort of new bullishness to him, bit more of a grouchiness.
I think winning does that though, yeah. Shane. You know, you don't have the immediate pressure, so you can, but he is, I think it's a noticeable, he's trying to do a Fergie, what would Fergie say, and that's not a bad thing, because you try and, but I loved going back to the ABU bit, Klopp biting, that was fucking great. We're suddenly, people aren't taking the piss out of us anymore. You can tell their narrative is changing to United. Brilliant.
And you can see that in Ole, the next press conference, the next day, you know, he done the fact, little quote, you know, having a little pop, just subtly, you know, but in Ole's nice way. And I thought, yeah, he's kind of, it was good to see Klopp battled, and it was good to see Ole enjoying that. The one thing, like the one negative for me, and you've touched on it, being more clinical, we definitely need to be more clinical with the ball. And it sounds really painful to kind of pick on Bruno at all, but, you know, Bruno does concede, for all the good he does give the ball away, and we take that offset, you know, because of all he's brought to the team. But, you know, looking back against Leicester, he gave the ball away. They punished us with a goal. He got us into trouble giving the ball away against City. Against Liverpool, we need to be a bit more careful with the ball. I know he's brought a lot to the team, but I do think...
No, that's fair. That's fair enough, Shane. But I thought, you know, like this, I've said it loads. If we weren't winning things and football during lockdown would be shite. But I watched last night and we gave the ball away four times in the first 5 minutes. And I thought to myself... Let it fucking go. Just
Of course, like the benefit, like the good outweighs the bad at the moment. But if we want to take on the Liverpool and Cities, to me that was a difference against City. They got the ball and they were clinical and careful with that ball. We got the ball, and when we got in dangerous positions, we either missed the chance or gave the ball away. And that, I know that sounds obvious, but De Bruyne is very efficient with the ball, is my observation.
Yeah,
and Bruno's not.
I think he's knackered though, isn't he?
Change we need to make.
I think he's knackered, wouldn't you say, Bruno? But I will say, I think, let's be honest, City are the team who probably think league on, game on. You know, if we look at it rationally with the squad they have and what they've done before, they're the team who could now lose it. And it's up to us to have a go and keep on there and Liverpool's tails. Ben?
Well, I think like, it'll be interesting to see how we look up, you know, directly up against Liverpool on Sunday, because, you know, when we played City last week, you know, I think, as we've all said, there was still a bit of a gap between the two teams. And I think, you know, I think Ollie was right, really, when he talked about it not being down to mentality. I just saw in the end they just had a bit more quality than we did. And sometimes you've got to hold your hands up, as painful as it is, as Shane said before. So there's still... But, you know, I think the thing is, we're definitely a lot closer to them, aren't we? And actually, you know, we've seen in years gone by, you can lose to the top teams and still win the league if you're grinding out results against your Burnleys and your Wolves. And it will be interesting to see, because I think actually we've probably done better against City in the last couple of years, particularly away from home, than we've done against Liverpool. Like, the last couple of times we've been to Anfield, we've been well beaten, really, haven't we? So. Yeah.
We're looking to Sunday, but I posted after the game the next seven fixtures. And as you say, you're obviously fucking hell. But out of those seven, you'd say five are there. So, you know, you just want to... I like the way the attitude is. Win the next game, concentrate, then go on to the next one. Stop worrying about a bigger game ahead. You know, just... But I will say, on my... it went slightly. I promise not to mention scalpel and penises ever again, because I thought my story last pod would be a story of hope and redemption. But listening back, I thought, oh, for fuck's sake, Barney, you've taken it too far. I thought there was a life can get better. But there is a postscript, and I will say, many years later, 20 years later, to go through the IVF process, you have to have a clear AIDS test. So I thought, I know the place. So I go back and I think, I said, this is a really, really, it wasn't the same receptionist. I said, this is a really, really odd request, but I used to come here 20 years ago. You don't have my, and they said, do you remember your number? Oh yes, I remember my number. So I said, this is my number. And she went, oh, yeah, we do have them, so you can come and proceed. And I was like, J.A. Hartley, oh, you do have them. How wonderful. That is the end of that story. Cut, done, never to be mentioned again. Right, but isn't it nice, Nick, not that you really succumb to the moaning brigade like the rest of us, isn't it nice not to be moaning about United?
Oh, it's definitely. It's nice being in work. Like I say, I've probably mentioned a few times working with a load of Blues that, you know, come in today and no one's wanted to talk about football, considering for the last week that's all they've wanted to talk about. I mean, one of the things is that I'll say, if you're looking for an extra bit of positivity, you know what I'm like. But I think this Sunday, I don't think Bruno's played against the Scousers, has he? And, you know, it brought that graphic up last night of teams that have won the most points since Bruno's coming. And I know it's not a trophy, and I get that, but he's still going to count for something, and it's a massive part of where we are at the moment. So, you know, if you've got him and you've got, you know, Pogba on a bit of form, you know, if they're without one of their centre-halves or even two of their centre-halves come Sunday, I still think we've got a real chance there to go and do something. You know, I still think City are more of a well-rounded side. I look at what that Diaz was like for them at centre-half last week. I thought he was terrific. You know, he looks like a real player. You know, and that's kind of what one of the part of the difference-making was. I know De Bruyne, obviously, you know, you should have mentioned before, Shane, about him having that extra quality. But that's what I'm kind of eager to see, really, this Sunday. That's what my eyes are going to be on, is having a look and seeing how up for the fight they are going to be in midfield.
I like the way some Reds are saying they'll be drinking at 8 o'clock to blur the momentum of the day. I don't know, it's so unusual because we'd either be there, we'd be together. I haven't really even thought about how I'm going to do it, you know, because it's fucking massive.
Yeah, that is a sad, like, it's stating the obvious when we say it every time, you know, it's a bittersweet thing, isn't it? It's really sad we can't go. And now we're having this buzz. You know, it would be great. You know, imagine Sunday, but you know, the buzz, but a buzz for any of the games at the moment would be great. But yeah, equally, you have to recreate best you can. And you know, I've said before, like, football behind closed doors is both crap and brilliant at the moment. And you know, it's the only thing like I look forward to, really. Obviously, lucky the family, but it's, you know, on Sunday, yeah. I will be. You've got to kind of like virtually just drink beforehand.
Into a gutter.
I'm just gonna, you know, the family here sort of hear me yelping from the room while I watch the games.
Yeah, but that's not the football, Shane. That's another video.
I'm fantasizing about a bare chested Cavani, sort of with a Florida flag and his shirt, flailing it around in front of the cop.
I think Fernandes and Cavani could do something special. I've got it in my head. But on that, when Sky News, after fuck knows when, go to work, don't go to work, the latest one was, but when Sky went immediately panned to them and said elite football's off, elite sport's off, I was crestfallen. And that's a total about turn to last March. I was absolutely like, you can't take the football away. You just can't. There'll be nothing. What will I do?
I noticed. And I, like, football doesn't always help itself. Like, I was just have Spurs, Fulham on in the background now, but it's just, like, Celtic have apologised now, haven't they? Like, Celtic going off on a Beano to Dubai was wrong. I looked on Sunday, and I'm not going to lecture it. It's their moment. But the Marine, you know, the BBC are kind of like this fans gathered outside the stadium when Spurs were coming in. All these things are clearly not, don't look good in the non-footballing public eyes. Yeah. So I just hope that, you know, it keeps it back together and continue.
I want the BBC to go back to Marine and see if the fuckers are outside their gardens watching the next game. I bet they fucking aren't. Exactly. I bet the bastards won't be there then. I've got to say, there's a couple of... We've had, you know, like, in all seriousness, we're having... I think this is a more brutal period than the first one because there's a lot of Reds I know who have got it at right now. And not through that, but through other things. We've lost three really good Reds, John, Billy and Gary Bullis, who a lot of listeners will know, who was a sound Red. I can hear his voice, which is strange because... There's some people you can't hear in your head, and Gary had a distinct greeting, unique person. I've shared a good few beers with him, and obviously he knew he was dealing with his cancer with a courage that a few people I know who've had terminal illnesses, I can't imagine, and gutted, really. And then obviously we've lost Tommy Docherty, and all I would say is I only started going in 76, but the joy I've got out of reading United fans' memories, and it's obviously of the character, but of the era, sums up for me what United's about. And that's special that people look back to a season or a two-season spell, you know, a little bit longer, 50 years on, and it brings them into a romantic vision is what United should be about. So, oh, Tommy Docherty, mate. And to everyone, just take care of yourselves, please. Sorry, Shane.
Yeah, no, I was just saying on the Tommy Docherty thing, I didn't go to see United play when he was manager, but it was the United team I kind of fell in love with, and, you know, went to Old Trafford when he was manager, but not to a game. That's, you know, my relatives took me summer holidays, but I've still got, like, actually one of the bits I've got on the wall is the 77 Cup final team sent me a kind of like an autograph sheet on my birthday, and it's like, So I think it's, for lots of us, it's like the team that we fell in love with, really, the Docherty team. Exciting, that FA Cup in 77 is probably, you know, one of the highlights for many of us remembering that. So, yeah, so that was sad news. And I think it's, you know, as you say, there's lots of, and even if don't know them all well personally, I've seen lots of, sadly, Reds pass away. And that's another sad thing to think, when we do go back, there'd be people that we won't be, those faces you just don't see, you know, on a Euro away or going into the ground, you might just be a nod or a wink. And I think that's a sad thing to reflect on as well, you know, that we're, when we do go back, there'd be some of us that are not there, and that's really sad.
It's a very brutal period, and it's hard to get your head around at the best of time. And Ben, I was thinking when we were talking, then your dad must have loved Tommy Doc.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. He had a league match ticket book when we were in the second division. And he loved that, you know, and he used to talk about Doherty's teams a lot. He loved sort of booking Jim Holt and all those type of players. I've got the 77 Cup final programme somewhere that he gave me and the ticket. So, yeah, that was like, you know, an era that I heard a lot about, although obviously before my time.
And Nathan?
I've got a 77 Cup final scarf that bought at Old Trafford actually the summer after they won the cup, and it's still my lucky sort of cup final scarf that takes. So yeah, it's a lot of fond memories from that team.
And Nathan
went to the 77 Cup final with Tony Wilson.
He was friends with him, wasn't he?
Yeah, they were mates. Yeah, and funnily enough, my mum and dad had just bought a house. They moved into the house on the Friday, and he went off to Wembley on the Saturday and left over all the boxes to unpack. Which she still talks about to this day.
And Nathan, you're doing the commendable thing, becoming a vaccine hero. You're going to direct people to where to take it. And if you can nick a few for us, just how many do we want? Two times 12 of us?
It just popped up on Facebook. Someone posted about it on Facebook the other day. So I just signed up and showed my intent for saying I'll volunteer to help out at the vaccination centres whenever. So I got an email before, just like with a few different options. So I'm off on Friday. So I'm going in.
You're a noble
Friday morning.
You're a noble lad, Nathan. Out. I'll send the special delivery wrapper. So just put a couple in. I'll get Chloe to fucking pump the arm up. Right, Nick. You're a key worker, which is just baffling.
Yeah, I know, yeah. So
estate agent.
Same bracket me as Nathan there. Should be getting the commendable honours that he's getting. Keeping the economy going, keeping you lot all safe and sound me every day.
That's why the clap stopped, isn't it? Because people worked out we're doing it for estate agents.
Yeah, well, I was going out there clapping for myself on Thursday, but no one was out there joining me, so I'm not really sure what that was about. I don't really know how it is, but I mean, I suppose it makes a lot of money for the government. It makes sense for them, doesn't it, really? All right, Boris. It's still fortunate, really, to be fair. I'd much rather be working than obviously, you know, either not working or furlough or whatever. So I do know I'm pretty lucky with that.
And I will say for everyone, they had a few nice emails. We've still got some mags left. People saying the mags brought some normality of a match day to them, so really kind. I think you're doing nicer things for us than we are with the mag, but we're taking a pause for a few weeks because it's hard at the moment, and we're going to do one in March and then in May because we won't be back, and that's the way to get us to the summer and then see if the summer campaign can reach the target. I hope so, but obviously you don't know, dear. You don't know. I don't know when we're... Because, you know, the talk without... getting too deep, but the talk is the new normal when vaccine will still mean masks, will still mean they want some level of social distancing. So when will we have cans on a fucking train talking shit again? That's just, my wish isn't like to be on a beach in Barbados, it's just to be on a train talking shit with my mates. Right, so come on, fist pumps. Are we all confident for Sunday? Yes.
Cavani winner, and he'll go absolutely batshit.
I'm going a Cavani header. We find Wan-Bissaka gets a crossover, Cavani in. I can see it. Nathan, come on. This is you're the litmus test.
I can't. No, to be fair, I think, like I said before, about the way that we play, and hopefully they'll be going for it as well. I think I've watched pretty much every Liverpool game recently. Like,
you poor bastard.
And I live with a Liverpool fan, and she's all right as well, to be fair. But their front three just look very stale at the moment. Like, I don't, like, you know, with Jota being out, it's like it could come back to bite me saying it, but they just don't look on form, like, going forward either. Like, they've obviously got the defensive issues, but I don't know, just going forward, they just don't look as sharp, as up for it, as they have done, obviously, last season. So unless that completely changes, then I don't see why we couldn't.
I did think that after one of their games recently, Jamie Carragher came straight off after the game. He said, they're not winning the league this year. And sometimes professionals can see, you know, something, or hear that there's something not right. But I will say, like, at my endless breathing space, Ollie's got that till the end of the season now. We're not even discussing Ollie's future now, which is great. Fucking 4 months to see what he can do with a bit of confidence without feeling pressure. Imagine on Monday if it's Barchester United fucking headlines. I want, Nick, your Brighton, the ref blows, and fucking VAR goes, we've missed an incident. Fernandez has to take a penalty. Klopp will be on the pitch fucking going loopy. Wouldn't that just heaven? I know it'll be a bump back to earth, but come on, just a few more days of dreaming.
I'll be out on the streets, bringing more shame on the
nameless. Yeah. Piri Patel will be chasing us around with batons if that happens. Fucking hell. Right, I'm going. I've got to calm down. I don't think we're losing, though. I'm going to go 1-1.
I'll go same as well. I think both managers will be a bit cagey about it, about where, about dropping points, and might cancel each other out. Could be a stale 0-0 like we saw against City and saw against Chelsea in the league. So I don't think that quite surprised me. I still think Ole's got that 6-1 from Spurs in his head. So don't think he'll play too open. So I think it'd probably be a 0-0. It might be a bit of a tough watch.
I'm going 2-0 United.
Full cock out.
Yeah.
How drunk will we be on Sunday night? 2-1 to us, Ben.
Yeah, I think we'll do a bit of a smash and grab early. I can see us getting at them on the counter. Two early goals. Then they're going to pull one back and it's going to be really uncomfortable for the last half hour. But De Gea's going to pull an absolute worldie out of the bag in the 91st minute.
Isn't it nice to seeing him more reassured as well? Come on, yeah, Nathan.
All of the back foot, you know, we were talking about Bailly before, and I do think he's been excellent. And I completely wrote him off after Spurs. I thought he'd never pull the shirt on again. He was that bad. But he's been really good. And I think Maguire has really turned things round from the start of the season, which makes a big difference. De Gea looks great. So, yeah, we look solid. And
we're so giddy at the moment, aren't we? Please don't let this end.
One thing I'd say is I do, you know, I'm predicting us to win because I am confident, but at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if we lost it. You know, it's two good teams at the end of the day, you know, and one team that's the reigning champions, as much as it pains me to say it. But the thing is, even if we lose, we're still going to be level with them at the top of the league halfway through the season. So, you know, we can't get too carried away the other way, can we? We've got to say, well, you know, even we're still in a great position. And there's still a long way to go. So whatever happens, it's just great to be going into a game against them, actually being in contention.
Yeah, and win at Fulham. Got to win at Fulham. Right, Nathan, what's your prediction, mate?
I think there'll be one goal in it. Whether, you know, I think it could easily just be like a quick, like a 1-0. Like just...
Who to go? Come on. Yeah, right. Fucking hell! All the things have aligned tonight. This is either something special or the doom of next week. Come on, though.
The thing is, like Ben, you touched it there. It's like before, like we were losing or losing to teams, mid-table teams, or getting draws. I think now we're winning the games we should be winning.
Yeah,
the pressure's a little bit off when we go to Liverpool. You know, we, as you say, it is Liverpool. Of course, we desperately want to get a result. But it means we can kind of enjoy it a bit more because we've won the games we should have won. It's not, you know, the pressure's off a little bit of Ole, really. And the team, and I think we can. I'm looking forward to it now. We can enjoy it.
Yeah, but also Shane.
I think the thing that's giving me a buzz at the moment is he makes me nervous, but he plays on the edge, and I find that quite exciting. You think he's just a whisker away from something happening.
When he went for that header last night and he took their player out about 30 yards away from the ball, I thought that didn't even get a mention. There was so much going on, but it was like Bally, the ball's 20 yards the other way, mate. But if you think back to like Spurs after Arsenal after Leipzig, particularly after Burnley, after City League Cup, to think we're in a position where we're starting, Ben's made this point in the match, we're liking the players again. We've got a passion in the team. We've got players who care, that want to win. You know, like, irrespective of how giddy in one game here, but if anyone argues, is there progress? And, like, there was someone last week, you know, on Twitter, Ollie's not up to it. And I said, but if we win at Burnley, we're top. That's irrelevant. But when do you start making things relevant? You know, like, do you have... And why I bit last week on Twitter, you know, for a supposed United fan to say he hates Ollie, I just don't get it. The online world is not for me much of the time. It baffles me.
All I would say with Ollie is I think, you know, I've questioned him and I think the jury is still out to an extent because until he wins a major trophy, he's still got it to prove. But, you know, I think he's definitely earned the right now. He's definitely taken us forward. I think you've got to say that. We're in a much better position in almost every area than we were 2 years ago. Now, what a lot of United managers have found out in the past is that last step is often the hardest, isn't it? So he's kind of got us in contention, but can he take us to that next level?
But Ben, there's an adult debate to be had about Ollie and whether, like, you know, he will be or that it's the next man. But it gets lost in that I hate him and I want United to lose and this poison.
I don't know anyone could say that about Ollie, really. You know, he just got the winner of the European Cup final.
And just...
Forever, whatever he does. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's the right man to manage.
No, but that's where...
At the moment, he's certainly in the role on merit. You know, where he's got us to, you've got to take it half and we'll see where it takes us over the next few months.
Because I think anyone would say that there are still moments, but you grow into it. But this is where, you know, like the online universe doesn't allow for nuances that we could say. We could all say, like last week with the subs, you know, Ollie, you're reverting to it here. But this 240 character or clickbait or fucking, you know, I'm on a video channel, I want a 10-second segment saying I hate the bloke. It's just pathetic. It's just nothing less than pathetic. But that's not, you know, God knows what happens in 10 years' time with United's online support. Well, you know, I'll be well out of it by then. But it's just ridiculous. You know, you wouldn't meet anyone in a pub talking shit like that. But right, so Nick, finally, pull up to my bumper, baby. Come on.
Well, I mean, everything always goes back to the recruitment for me, I think, with Ole. And I think, you know, as Ben said, you know, in the Maxwell, you know, you are liking the players again now. And I think, you know, everyone's starting to get behind the squad. I think you don't listen to people that's online. I've massively cut Twitter out of my social media diet, shall we say, at the moment, because there's a lot of wind-up merchants on there, you know, people like Nathan that are a bit negative for the sake of it. You know,
it's two like, digs tonight, Nathan. You've got to
be a bit positive in your life. But, you know, he's not necessarily the greatest man in the world. I think, you know, in the fact that he's struggling to get over the hurdle in terms of these teams like City and stuff like that, you know, obviously there must be limitations in his managerial game, but if he can go to Anfield on Sunday and try and start to change some of that perception, then, you know, we're on to a real winner here. Can you get over the line? It's not necessarily going to be a semi-final every day. The only thing I'll say, though, Shane, is you mentioned just then that Ole's not necessarily under pressure. I think we kind of want him to be under pressure. When he's got his back up against the wall is when you're going to get these best results. So I really hope that everyone comes down and hard on him over these next few days and he can start managing with a chip on his shoulder. Because when he's like that, he's unbeatable.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point, yeah. I feel as though it's obviously going there to talk is a buzz, but I just feel it's enjoyable now. We bank the points we should have done and we can just... I think we should go in there with a bit of swagger. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, but even a dirty win last night, Shane, it wasn't particularly good. It wasn't particularly... But there was a sort of sadomasochistic enjoyment that you could hold on and that wasn't... Do you remember we played Leicester a couple of years ago and we conceded an equaliser at the end? We're not doing fucking really daft things that we're doing a few months back.
People think that every game's going to be a 5-0 victory. I mean, yeah. There's many, many games like last night under Ferguson in the title-winning years. You've got to go and do those things, haven't you? Go to Burnley and grind out a 1-0. It's not always pretty, but, you know, I enjoyed it a lot last night. Yeah. I even enjoyed the Wolves game because, you know, sometimes you come up against a team that's well organised and they're there to defend and get a goal on the straw. And you've got to break those teams down and beat them.
Watford I didn't enjoy so much. I'll put that out there. Watford we've forgotten about already.
Next round, aren't we? And yeah. We're all this talk of Liverpool, we're playing them twice.
I know.
We've
that's
got them again the week after.
That's
So the point you made there, Ben, I think I enjoyed it because, you know, a couple of things. Ole said something about, you know, he sat the players down at half time, emotions are running high and it's all about control, what we can control, you know. And often we used to criticise Ole's influence on the game, but they come out second half and completely controlled the game from what was a dysfunctional game in the first half. So I thought that was impressive.
So maybe that was the game plan. He said he wanted to calm them down, Shane. He wanted to calm the players down.
Exactly. But what impressed me last night was, you know, Burnley, and I can't blame Burnley, you know, they've got their resources, but they play, you know, a hard game. And from the off, our players were up for it. You know, Shaw was diving in, you know. And I think it's great to see United with that fight. And,
yeah.
Well, if you want to play the hard game, we can play that too. You know, it's good.
I liked Finno on the forum saying he hates Sean Dyche. I thought he's indifferent to me. He just reminds me of a Stella swigger in a bar going, "Have you touched my pint?" But that he hated him. I thought that was funny. Right, Nathan, are you going to respond to the second dig of the night? Can we just say we all want fucking Tampa Bay Buccaneers to get stuffed at the weekend? Go on, Nathan. You're going to respond to this slight...
That's not aimed at me, though, is it? That's aimed at Nick.
No, that's aimed at Nick.
No, like, I'm... Fuck the like Bucks. I said before, I try not to be negative. It's just... I don't know. I'm just... Like I said before, it's the hope that kills you, isn't it? So I always want to err on the side of caution when it comes to things, but...
Yeah, realism, optimism.
Like, I can't not be excited about how things are. This season is obviously ridiculous. Like, it's been crazy. But I think that's the thing. This season's probably... The last few seasons have been the ones that have been ridiculous because they've had one or two teams that have literally won every single game.
Yeah.
And they've been pushing 100 points a season. Whereas this season, teams are losing games and drawing games, and this season seems ridiculous, but this is more of a normal season, if you know what I mean.
And I would say that at United, the glass should always be half full, I hope, but we've had it fucking knocked over by Sean Dyche and stamped on the floor with no fucking glass for four or five years. So we're just
a few times.
A little the last few
years, the games like last night were games, or games that, you know, quite a few over the Christmas period have been games that we'd either draw or we'd lose.
Yeah.
And we've somehow clicked into a way that we're actually coming out and getting wins out of them now. So like Shane said, it's games that you'd expect to win that over the last few years we've dropped points in. So that's progress, if anything, isn't it?
It's just pleasantly surprising, really, and it's long may it continue. I've got one last question for you, apart from saying Coggy again, get well soon, mate. Words that you hate fans uttering. I hate any football fan who says biosecure or stakeholders. Have we got any more additions to that? Any football fan who says biosecure, fuck off. Fuck off. Fuck off.
I've never heard a football fan say that, but maybe I'm...
Not. There was someone on Sky Sports News. I know I shouldn't be watching it. And stakeholders. We're all stakeholders. We're not. We're football fans.
What's the... expected goals.
That's what I would have said.
That is bullshit, isn't it?
That anyone should just be electrocuted, really. It matched the day started bringing it in, didn't they? Right, on that note, lads, we've waffled on. Cheers for coming on. Happy faces again. That's about 2 out of 4 podcasts where we've had happy faces. We've got a few fist pumps, and Shane's about to deliver a box of milk tray or burgle someone. So, on that note.
I'm actually smirking because I'm watching Top the Banana
Rama
have just come on.
There we go. There we go. You had to get one in. Right, cheers, lads. Here's to Sunday. And we'll speak next week. Cheers, lads.
Bye.
Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.